Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we happy to be here? Well, we could be a little ways north. Melora's boy feller, Dakota, he was here for a short time yesterday morning and started getting a bunch of texts and said, you better get back. He lives in Butler, Missouri. And so he went back home. Did fine until he got home. And that's usually what it is, right? You give within a mile or two of home. Then he got to try out his Chevrolet going sideways down the road. But he said... scared a boy that was with him that was staying here for a while. But anyway, they got home safely. But he said something about him canceling church today. And I said, isn't that called backsliding? No. David today says no. Oh. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. There was something else I was going to say. It's probably another dad joke. That's all right. So as we get started this morning, it's a new year. Happy New Year, right? It's a year full of great expectation, right? You know, I was thinking about this concept of slipping from one year to another year. We still have the same life, right? It goes from calendar. It just flip on the calendar, right? There's still the same problems that we are encountering in 24 that we still have to deal with today. But you know what can change? Our mentality, our view, our thought process. And you know what can really change? Is our relationship with the Almighty God. Life is still life, and life is still hard. And sometimes we have made decisions that make it harder. Can I get an amen? Yeah, sometimes we mess up. But the grace of God is still good. He's still there for us if we'll just turn to Him and let Him have control. So as we get started this morning, I want to start with a very unscientific poll. With a raise of a hand, if you would like, if you feel comfortable in doing that, please respond to these. How many of you would be more content if you had more money? I got a few honest people. That's good. That's good. All right. How many would be more content if you had less stuff? Okay, that's good. How many would be more content if you had a lighter schedule? Okay. How many would be more content if you had a better relationship with someone important to you? All right. How many would be more content if you had a different job? How many would be more content if James would stop asking these questions? Pete, I like that. Content. It's a word that goes missing many times from people's lives without Jesus. And the question that I want us to consider together on an individual basis, is the word content missing in your life? As we start a new year, start a new vision. You know, being discontent shows up in so many ways in life, in the world. Adultery, divorce, drunkenness, job jumping, church jumping. Just the overwhelming drive in many people's lives, a reckless living. It's the results of a wandering spirit within, searching but never finding, hopelessly lost many times. And the retailers target this problem in our society, and they make a killing off of us. What new gadget can we put in front of their eyes? What new thing can draw their attention? You know, one of the most substantial reasons that we are discontent, I believe, as a people is that we have been trained to be discontent. We've been trained that way. Society trains us that way. The almighty dollar drives us. Greed drives us. The desire for more, and if only. Sometimes, myself included, sometimes we people are like the monkey that's hunted. The coconut's hollowed out. It's hung up in a tree and a chain from the tree with a banana inside it. The monkey reaches in and seizes the banana, but cannot pull his hand out while he has hold of the banana. But he's unwilling to release his hold on that banana and will ultimately give his life because he was so discontent with the fruit that was all over the ground and the nuts that were scattered that he had to have that particular banana. Paul says something in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11, and I've tried to implement this in my life and remind myself consistently of these words. He says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." So food for thought this morning is that contentment is not something that just comes to you. It is something that we must learn. Paul says, "I have learned to be content." And so this morning, we are going to look at an example in Scripture that I hope will help us learn what contentment looks like and what contentment can be in our lives. A man by the name of Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, he shows up on the canvas of characters. He's an elderly gentleman. And in just a few verses in Luke 2, he appears and then he disappears. But the short description that we have of him speaks volumes of the character of this man. And Luke allows us to see in just a few words what makes Simeon tick, what shapes his character, and what fulfills his life. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 33, it's 8 days after Jesus' birth, to give you context of what we're talking about here. If you look back on your calendar, we're sitting at 11 days, right? From 25th of December, whether or not that's the birthday. But in just reality of the time frame, it's 8 days after his birth. Mary and Joseph are gathering up their belongings and the new baby, Jesus, and they're making the short trek of 6 miles or so to Jerusalem and to the temple to present Jesus to God according to the customs of the law. And as they enter the temple courts, Simeon approaches them. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous, and he was devout. And he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms. And he blessed God, and he said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and his mother were amazed at the things which are being said about him. Simeon was content with Jesus. What evidences do I see here in text to relay this truth to us? The first thing that you see that Luke makes a point of drawing out to us in this description of Simeon was that this man was righteous, he was devout, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for Jesus. It's translated this concept, this phrase that you see in the New American Standard, "looking for," is translated "waiting for" in the NIV. Simeon was expectantly seeking the consolation of Israel. He was expectantly seeking the Savior who would render spiritual aid and comfort to the people. He had been promised, and Simeon was expectant of that promise of being fulfilled. In his lifetime, Jesus was promised in all of the old prophecies. Simeon knew them, and Simeon was looking to find Jesus, to see those fulfillments of God's promises. And this motivated Simeon to hope, to live expectantly, to anticipate the arrival of the Messiah. You see, when your life is defined by an expectation of something, it means that it becomes evident to everybody that knows you. Because that's what you talk about. That's what you live for. That's what you're looking for. And when I'm expecting something, that's all. I mean, how many of y'all are grandparents? What do you do when you find out that you got a new one on the way? I have to hear about it. I work with a guy that's what he lives for, is his grandchildren. And I have to hear stories every single day about something new that the little one did. The little one's 3 now, and I guess I'm going to be with him all of his life as long as I continue to work with him. But we get excited, don't we? When we're filled, our life becomes defined by the expectation of that. Simeon's life was defined with the expectation of Jesus. It defined his habits. His daily routine was consumed with the expectation and anticipation that this just might be the day of his dreams. It might just be the day of your dreams. And when you're expecting something, your conversation is filled with excitement and joy at the thought of seeing the realization of your hope. There's no thought of dread. There's no thought of, what if this really doesn't happen? It's the thought of, this is going to happen, and I can't wait. I can't wait. He was looking for Jesus. And as I looked at this description of Simeon, I had to ask myself the question, is this true about me? If when people speak about me, would they say that I am looking for Jesus? That I am a seeker of Jesus? And what about you? What about us as a church? Would people, when they come visit, when they leave, would they say that those people are seekers of Jesus? That we're looking forward with anticipation of knowing Him, not just as Savior, but as friend. If it's true, then our lives will proclaim it. It will ooze from our very pores. Am I a seeker of truth? You know, Jeremiah wrote something in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. It was actually God speaking through Jeremiah. He says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." God's there. And God wants to be found by us. But you know what God wants more? Is us to seek Him, to look for Him, to anticipate finding Him. Are you excited about what the next passage has to hold for you? There are another couple of words that Luke uses here to define Simeon. He says that he was devout and righteous. Devout and righteous. Simeon was devout in his life. He showed his devotion to God on a daily basis, by carefully living within the presence of God. He took pains to make sure that his every step was pleasing to God. You see, to Simeon, following God was not just an old man activity. It was his life. Yeah, being a Christian is not just for old people. It's for us young ones too. And those younger than me. Luke proclaims that Simeon was righteous as well, meaning that his character was just as it should be. We might say Simeon was good people. He's humble. He's honest. He's willing to serve. He's generous. He's faithful. All of these words, boil them down, you're righteous. You're in the frame of mind that is acceptable to God. You're thinking, you're feeling, and you're acting in accordance to God's will. You know, I believe as I looked at this idea that Luke is presenting to us of Simeon, I had to say, you know what? These two words, devout and righteous, are two words that should be naturally included in the description of a man who is seeking Jesus. That's seeking the realization of hope and truth in his life. Righteous. Devout. Devoted to God. Not just devoted to coming to church, folks. I'm talking about a life that exalts God continually. Daily. Can we make the claim of being devout? Can you make the claim of being righteous that the words that you choose, the topics of speech that you talk about, maybe the posts that you make on Facebook, that they are as they should be when we bear the name Christian? Can we make the claim of being devoted? Are we careful and respectful to live in the presence of God daily? Simeon was constant. He was constant in his heart to seek for Jesus. And God rewarded his heart. And I believe that one of the ways to make 2025 different than 2024 is to be a seeker of truth daily. Daily. Get in His Word. Learn it. Memorize it. Get to where you breathe Scripture. Paul says that this is God breathed. Let's breathe His breath. Let's learn what the text says. Number two, Simeon was looking for Jesus, and Simeon was living in step with the Spirit of God. There are three references in our text to the Spirit working in Simeon's life. We found it in verse 25, 26, and 27. We find that the Holy Spirit was on him. We find that the Holy Spirit revealed truth to him. And we find that the Holy Spirit brought him to the temple that day. Moved him to action. And I was looking at, it said it had, in 26, says it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was going to meet Jesus before he died. And he believed that, and he hoped for it, and he looked expectantly for those words to be revealed in his life. Simeon was used. He was used to the Spirit's influence in his life. It wasn't something strange for the Spirit to tell him to do something. So when he prompted Simeon to respond, Simeon responded. Simeon walked in step with the Spirit. You know, incidentally, the same three ways that the Spirit influenced Simeon's life are the same three ways that the Spirit works on a true believer's heart and in their life. First of all, Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are defined by the Holy Spirit's presence. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of Jesus. When you heard of that, you believed it, and you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." We hear the gospel and we respond to that gospel. We obey that gospel, the Scripture tells us. And in the waters of baptism in Jesus, the promised Holy Spirit comes to rest on you as a believer. Amen? This is the seal that is placed on you. God's stamp of approval, if you will, upon your life from then on. And as a believer, it should become natural to feel the Spirit's prompting as He works in us, as He's there with us. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God." Those who are being led by the Spirit. If this is raising a question in your mind, and And maybe this is not something that you're accustomed to feeling, you know, the Spirit leading and guiding in your life. Maybe life is too loud. Maybe the noise of the world has become too prominent in your ears. Maybe your attention has become distracted from godly living unto mere physical survival in this life. Maybe you haven't trained your ear to hear the still, small voice of God. Or maybe you haven't responded to the call of God to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to yield your life in obedience to Christ. It's important for us to understand that my life as a Christian, as a servant of God, will be defined by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are who? These are sons of God. Simeon was led by the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. We are defined by the presence. The second part that Christians are defined by the Holy Spirit as, we are taught by the Holy Spirit. Christians are taught by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed truth to Simeon, and he reveals truth to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We, as Christians, have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may understand what God has freely given to us. He says, you need my Spirit so that you can understand what the magnitude of what I'm giving to you. This is what we speak. Not in words that are taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Learning to talk, as I mentioned before, learning to talk Scripture, to understand God's words, to make those words your words, so that your thought processes are in line with what God's revealed to us as His thought processes. Does that make sense? The more I spend in God's Word and I make this me, I make it who I am, then the easier it is that I can begin to respond. The same way that Jesus responded to temptation. What did He say to Satan? He quoted Scripture. We need to learn Scripture. Christians are taught by the Holy Spirit. Let Him teach you. Spend time in it. Some things are difficult to understand in Scripture. But I am convinced as we pray, as we approach the Lord, say, Lord, open my eyes, open my understanding, and I go to those difficult passages and I look at them and I begin to decipher things in Scripture that were difficult at one time, but as I open myself up to the leading of God, the Spirit begins to reveal those truths to us as believers. If we will open ourselves to His direction. That's the key part here. We have to take a step. We're taught by the Holy Spirit. Christians are also guided by the Holy Spirit. He moved Simeon to action. He moves us to action. To walk in the Spirit. There are two passages that shed light on this idea. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Paul uses the words here, walk. It denotes a way of making one's way, if you will. It's denoting progress. To walk by the Spirit, make progress by the Spirit, to make due use of opportunities to learn more of the Spirit, to live and to make decisions in accordance with the Spirit of God. It's kind of a generic idea of following Jesus that Paul is using in this particular passage. To do life as a follower of Jesus. As we do life as Christians, it should be different than doing life before we became a Christian. That's the transition that Paul wants us to get here. Walk by the Spirit. You're not going to follow the desires of the flesh any longer. There's a difference. Now there's another passage, a few verses down, in Galatians 5:25. He says this, if we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Another translation says. Now the walk that's used here in Galatians 5:25 is more orderly. It's not just a generic approach that things are different now. It's to proceed in a row as the march of a soldier. To walk in orderly fashion with the Spirit. To walk in step with the Spirit, in other words. Just as Simeon walked, listened to the Spirit of God, responded to the truths revealed by the Spirit, and allowed the Spirit of God to dictate his direction in life. That's the same way I need to be. I need to be responding to the truths that are revealed by the Spirit through his word, through the preaching of the word, to make sure that it is the Spirit's word. I need to be in the text, learning daily, allowing the Spirit to instruct me. And then I need to walk and exercise the Spirit's call in my life on a continual basis. Not just saying no to sin, but going and doing what the Spirit is telling me to do. Does that make sense? Now, as you look at Simeon's life, with Simeon, we don't get a sense of confusion in his life, but of calm, methodical directing of God. Isn't that what you want? Doesn't that sound great? I think, for me, I need to learn to listen to the Spirit. I need to learn to listen to His call. I need to learn and stop and turn off the noise and allow that still small voice to speak to me in my soul and through His Word. Through His Word. Number three, Simeon found the secret of contentment because his life was fulfilled in Jesus. As soon as Simeon saw the child Jesus, he took Jesus into his arms and he blessed God. Can you imagine the feeling? You've been waiting. You've been anticipating the Savior. You've been looking forward to the fulfillment of all of these prophecies with excitement. You're going to the temple daily. Is he here today? Is he here today? Is this the day? Is this the day? And then you got that prompting. This is the day. This is the day. And maybe he didn't walk to the temple that day. Maybe he skipped. I won't try. Maybe he ran. He was up in age. He might not have run very fast. Maybe he trotted. But with excitement, he entered the temple. He was moved. And as soon as he saw the child Jesus, he didn't ask Mary, "Can I hold him?" Took him in his arms. And he began blessing God. Holding Jesus as a small child in his arms. Now, Lord, as you have promised, I can now go in peace. Simeon's life was completely fulfilled. All of his expectations, all of his hopes, his dreams were there in his arms. You have prepared salvation in the sight of all men, and I have seen it. It's here, and I can participate in it. The faithfulness of God in the personage of Christ was enough to complete Simeon's life. And I have to ask myself the question, is it enough? Is the faithfulness of God enough to complete me today? As I look past the manger, we just got done with Christmas, but as I look past that, and I see the scenes of pain. And I see the scenes of torment that pierced even the heart of Mary as Simeon goes on to explain to them that in verse 35, a sword will pierce even your own soul because of the promise of God through this Messiah, through this Christ child. And as I see the pain and the anguish and the understand that my Lord Jesus was crucified for my sin, is the love of God enough to complete me today? And if not, why not? Why not? Why can I not find contentment with Jesus? Notice Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul writes this to Christians. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, in accordance with human tradition, in accordance to the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him," get this, "in Him you have been made complete." You see, Jesus is the head over every ruler and authority. There's nobody that can even come close to who He is. He's the completeness that we've been looking for. And Paul says, if you're in Him, then you have received that completeness. You have been made complete. We have been given the fullness in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. He prayed this for Christians. He said that they would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, get this, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. You see, God's intention in Jesus was so that we would understand and receive the fullness and the completeness that He wants to bring into our lives. He wants us to be content in Him. Because anything that we've ever desired, anything that we've ever wished for, anything that we've ever looked for and hoped for, it's in Jesus. We have it in Him. We have it in the promises, ultimately, of eternal life that comes through Jesus. Paul wants us to understand the tremendous opportunities that await us within the arms of the Savior. To invest in Jesus with all the saints. To experience love and acceptance and favor with God. Is there anything better in life that you can get? No. Because it's not just temporary. We're talking eternal. We're talking a continual blessing. We enjoy it today, but we get to enjoy it forever. Invest in it. Oh, that we would grow to understand that what this world offers in the name of religion is not the peace and contentment that's offered by God. It's only found when a human heart seeks to know the love and the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not found in religion. It's found in relationship with Christ. There's a difference. You see, I can stand up before you and I can present all of the treasures and all of the wisdom that's found in Jesus Christ to you today. But until you bring the heart of desire that Simeon had to the table, then these treasures are going to go unclaimed. So the question I have for you, will you let Jesus complete you? Simeon was a great example to us of what a godly man is. He was one who feared God and he yearned for His glory to be revealed to him in his lifetime. He yearned to see God. He yearned to know God, and God heard his heart. And he saw Jesus for who He is. He saw Him as the salvation for the world. And knowing that God was faithful to all that He had promised for the years before Simeon's life and in Simeon's life as well, everything that God had ever promised from the beginning of time was enough for Simeon. And Simeon reached the end of his life and he said, my task is done. My heart is full. I've seen the salvation and now I can go in peace. What an amazing testimony. Brothers and sisters, friends, it can be the testimony for you as well. Because Jesus wants to fulfill your needs today. He wants to bring a complete peace into your life in 2025. Something that maybe you didn't know in 2024. You can change that today. He wants to bring a peace into your life that surpasses understanding. He wants to stop the discontent. He wants you to know the fullness in God. He wants you to stop the jumping from this whim to that. He wants you to settle on Him. You see, He can bring true and lasting peace through His blood in the comfort of His Spirit. But as I've said many times through this passage this morning, we have to let Him. We have to want Him. We have to open ourselves up to Him. Don't seize and hang on to the problems. Release them today. Turn loose of them. If you need prayer this morning, I invite you to come speak with one of the elders. Let them share with you the good news that we have in Christ. To spend time with one another. Encourage one another. Well, it's still called today. So that none of us are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what Hebrews tells us to do. Communicate the goodness of God to one another. Let's grow together in this church. Let's grow together in Christ. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song.